Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Words of the Witch, Writing and Speaking Your Magic by Ember Grand. Narrated by Chloe Cannon. Publisher's note. This audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit tantor.com and type The Words of the Witch into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code SPIRITS and then click the unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All visuals referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Disclaimer: please use appropriate caution when working with essential oils and other products that are applied to the skin. Always follow product instructions carefully. Introduction. The limits of my language mean the limits of my world. Ludwig Wittgenstein, Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus. When we picture witches and wizards of fantasy, fairy tales, and popular imagination, they are often waving wands, gesturing, maybe hovering over a cauldron or mixing potions. But no matter what action they're taking, they're almost always chanting, whispering, or even shouting incantations, or consulting an ancient grimoire of secret knowledge. In short, they're using language. Whether by speaking or writing, words have always been the most popular and significant way to make magic happen. Magic workers of ancient times might chant or murmur over someone, or breathe words upon a person or object, speak to someone directly, or let the wind carry the words. Attitudes about the words used in magic have run the spectrum from being merely instruments of persuasion, supplication, or command, to believing the actual words contained magical power. But one thing is certain. Words were believed to hold great power in the practice of magic, in all its forms. Language has been regarded as so influential that at one time in history, just knowing another language could lead to someone being accused of witchcraft. Right now, you are listening to a collection of sounds. The combinations make up words, and words link together to make sentences. Sentences come together to make meaning that we understand. It's quite amazing, and we often take it for granted. Language is what makes us special as human beings. It sets us apart from all other life forms on Earth. Sure, other beings can communicate, but our complex system is beyond comparison for what it can accomplish. Even cultures that have no written form of language still communicate with words. Our lives are intertwined with language. It's how we make meaning and understand everything around us. It's how we learn and share information. But there is also the long-held belief by some that certain words have an inherent power, especially in a religious context. Language and writing were once considered by some cultures to be sacred gifts from the gods. There's no denying the profoundly transformative power of language. Writing and speech have the ability to convince and persuade, to lift hearts, minds, and spirits. Words can also deceive, belittle, and cause enduring pain, ruin lives, and damage reputations. When we communicate, we can encourage and empathize, undermine, or challenge. Words also transport us through story and song. They convey information, inspire ideas, and evoke powerful emotions. The possibilities are endless. This isn't new information. We all know a simple word of kindness can make a world of difference, just as a word of hate can cause irreparable harm. And we can't begin this journey without mentioning that old rhyme about sticks and stones, and acknowledging that it's wrong. Words hurt. Even if we try to tell ourselves otherwise, that what someone says about us doesn't matter, even if we train ourselves to not be bothered by idle comments, enough of them can take their toll. And now, more than any time in history, it is so easy to talk about others and spread lies and misinformation. Words can truly do damage. In extreme examples, such as brainwashing and cults, they can cause great harm. If you've ever been called a derogatory name or had something written about you that was negative or hurtful, a lie told, or a misunderstanding, you know the power of words. If you've ever said or wrote something you wished you could take back, you understand that once uttered, words are out of your control, out into the world and universe. One false statement can ruin a reputation or first impression. But thankfully, they have the power to do as much good. They can empower and inspire us. They can encourage, comfort, and support. One kind word can change someone's life. It's not even magic. It's the simple power of words, and we must not undervalue or underestimate their significance. Knowing this, we should feel extra awe for the power of words in our magical practice. Whether you identify as a witch, Wiccan, pagan, magician, or something else, if you practice any type of magic, ceremonial or folk, a specific tradition, even religious magic, you likely use words a great deal in the form of spells, prayers, incantations, evocations, affirmations, and even mantras. Beyond the strength of your will and intent, words are the next most powerful tool you have for magic. In our roles as modern witches and magical practitioners, our words, how and what we say in our magical practices, and in our mundane lives too, deserve some attention. In reclaiming the word witch, we have a responsibility to do this. Just look at the word witch itself, a word that many of us embody as a person of benevolent power and wisdom, a healer. At one time in history, calling someone that word could be a death sentence. As modern witches, we cultivate a life connected to nature and the entire universe. We seek healing and harmony, and to defend ourselves and others when necessary. We practice the craft of the wise, and we never stop learning and seeking to better ourselves and our world. And so, our words need to be carefully crafted, with intent and sincerity, to help us engage with the world and with others, and convey our magic. We need to be able to precisely articulate our intent, and convey that intent with confidence, to back up our words with belief, even when using words someone else has written. We make them our own by speaking them. And so I invite you to spend some time in the study of words. While this is certainly not a new subject, and I am not the first to approach the topic in this manner, my goal is to give you ideas for expanding and strengthening your use of words in magic, both written and spoken. Even though I'm addressing this to the modern witch, this book is for anyone who practices any type of magic. Even if you're already a master, there is always more to discover. My goal is not to overwhelm you with too much history or linguistics. While such inquiries are fascinating, there are already excellent books on these subjects. My purpose is to bring together a variety of techniques you can use to make the most of your words in order to make your magical expressions more meaningful and effective. So while some of the information here may not be new to you, I hope that you find some fresh approaches and gain a deeper insight into the use of language. We all know these statements: a picture is worth a thousand words, and actions speak louder than words. I'm not saying these aren't true, but they are a bit dismissive of the power that words hold. Magical practice involves all these aspects. We use images and symbols, actions and gestures, and yes, words. In this book, I've pulled together a variety of strategies and ideas to make the most of how you're using your words. When we speak our intent to the universe, or write it, we plant a seed we wish to manifest. It's like a promise or a vow. It's a bridge between mind and matter. So make your words count. Words have power, and the words of the witch can have even more. when the full intent and strength of will support each letter written, each syllable spoken. When you believe this, you can change yourself and the world. How to use this book. It's useful to keep in mind how magic has been understood throughout history, and it's a messy history, filled with complexities, shadowy gray areas, overlap and inconsistencies, and a variety of influences. To that end, part one of this book contains a bit of historical context related to spoken and written magic. There is also a special section on talismans and amulets, since these have been, historically speaking, the most popular forms of magic. Part two concerns the use of spoken word magic. This section of the book contains a variety of skills that can be applied to composing prayers, spells, and more. Pieces intended to be spoken or recited. Techniques such as rhyme, rhythm, and word choice are explored, in addition to the act of speaking, sound frequency, and other considerations. Examples of the various writing strategies are provided. In part three, we explore various forms of written magic. Obviously, there will be some overlap between the discussion of spoken and written magic, because we typically write things meant to be spoken aloud. But this section of the book focuses on the actual writing implements and surfaces, from simple pen and paper to materials such as wood, clay, and glass. In addition, there are practice exercises, hands-on projects, and detailed explanations and recipes for making paper, ink, and more. Part 4 addresses names, numerology, and formal poetic verse, and Part 5 contains a section on elements and some practical aspects, including checklists for creating spells, rituals, and other pieces. While it's certainly fine to jump around throughout the book, moving through the material in sequence is recommended, since the information builds upon previous chapters. Becoming an experienced word witch means mastering your use of words in all situations. I don't pretend to be the first to write a book about magical words and language. What I hope to do is add to that discussion and extend the conversation by adding some ideas and more avenues of exploration. As a writer, poet, and English professor, and one who seeks to reclaim the word witch as the powerful and nurturing wise woman archetype, words are my life, and I invite you to join me on a journey of word magic. I hope you find some inspiration along the way. Part 1. Historical background. When a language dies, so much more than words are lost. Language is the dwelling place of ideas that do not exist anywhere else. Language is our gift and our responsibility. Robin Wall Kimmerer, Braiding Sweetgrass. Before widespread literacy, magic was conducted mainly through speaking and action, and since oral communication predates the invention of formal writing, we'll start briefly with the exploration of spoken word magic, and then discuss some history of written magical texts. In addition, Part 1 also covers a bit of background on amulets and talismans, the most popular form of magic throughout history. These chapters present just a very brief overview of the history of spoken and written magic. A vast collection of beliefs has created the foundation and variety we have in modern magic, a distillation of rituals, folk customs, and spiritual practices from around the world. The exciting part is that we can each make it our own, building on centuries of tradition and creating new methods and experiences. Chapter 1. Spoken Magic, A Brief History. A word has power in and of itself. It comes from nothing into sound and meaning. It gives origin to all things. N. Scott Momaday, The Way to Rainy Mountain. Our modern magical practices are a blend of things already syncretized centuries ago, including traditional beliefs and techniques from all over the world, a combination of religious texts, folk customs, and complex rituals of ceremonial magic. Western magic has drawn influence from a variety of regions, but ancient Egypt has long been considered the source of the most proficient magician priests. Their influence was eventually embraced by the Greeks, Romans, Christians, Jews, and later Muslims. While words as the source of magic can be found in nearly every culture, some of the most interesting evidence we have is Egyptian. Since its impact is so profound, let's take a moment to consider the importance of words in ancient Egypt. One of the most interesting aspects is their concept of Heka, the animating and controlling force of the universe, which is one of the most fundamental aspects of Egyptian magic. According to spell 261 from the coffin texts, Heka was regarded as the magical vitality which infused the first creative utterance of the solar deity Ra at the birth of the world, and which continues to do so at its recreation every morning with each sunrise. Heka is, in simple terms, the personification of magic, and is sometimes depicted as a deity. And even though it was expressed in speech, writing, and rituals, it was, above all, linked especially to speech and the power of the word. In Egyptian magic, actions did not necessarily speak louder than words. They were often one and the same thing. Thought, deed, image, and power are theoretically united in the concept of Heka. The ancient Egyptians believed so strongly in the creative power of words that the mere utterance of a word or name could bring an object into existence. Phrases such as magic of their mouths and spells of their utterances reveal the significant relationship between magic and the spoken word. Additionally, it was believed that the goddess Isis possessed words of power. It was said that she held the secrets of pronunciation, tone of voice, gestures, and timing that compel all living things to stop, listen, and do as she bids. Those who knew her words of power could receive her protection in the underworld. Even though the written versions were believed to be just as effective, the spells that comprise the Egyptian Book of the Dead were intended to be recited in order to aid souls in their journey to the afterlife. We can gain valuable insight about the use of language and magic from the ancient Egyptians. There is a world of significance in the belief that words have such power to create everything from the world itself to our goals, wishes, and desires. There's a reason these concepts are still valued today. The impact this culture has had on our modern magical practices cannot be denied, but other cultures have influenced us as well. There is a great deal of evidence for the significance of spoken word magic from sacred texts, myths, and legends from cultures all over the world. To the ancient Norse, swearing an oath could be an act of magic, casting a sort of spell to bind oneself in the future. Norse mythology cites, among Odin's many powers, his ability, with words alone, to put out fires, calm the seas, and turn the wind in different directions. The Norse concept of magic saw the will as having power over the world, as long as it was channeled through the spoken word. By writing or speaking the appropriate words, ordinary people could have access to powers held only by the gods. Of course, religion is yet another source of sacred words and sounds. In Jewish tradition, the Hebrew language has long been considered divine, and the letters themselves believed to contain power. The appropriate combination of words, sounds, and letters could be used for various types of magical workings, everything from conjuring spirits to divination. In addition to the use of signs and symbols, writing was at the heart of medieval Jewish magic, whether in the form of spells, curses, or protective words on amulets. In Hinduism, the sacred syllable Om is the source of everything that is. Muslims believe that the name Allah contains all the qualities that give rise to the universe, and Christians believe that, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In European folk magic, spoken words were believed to be more powerful than written texts. It was believed that words could channel the force of the soul, and serve as a conduit between the person performing the act of magic and the person or thing being acted upon. Additionally, even the qualities of a sound are associated with the magical power of the words. The word spell itself is a good example of this history. Its first recorded use to refer to a set of words as enchantment occurred around the 1570s. It's the word we often use for magic, but we know it also means the arrangement of letters and phrases that are spoken or written. But more than just the goal being fulfilled, the formula must be correctly pronounced. This adds even more weight to the idea of magic words and their function. There are many superstitions still with us today surrounding the pronunciation of certain words. You're undoubtedly familiar with the folklore prohibition of saying certain words or names, or the concept of a jinx, used to both describe how saying something out loud could prevent it from happening. We're gonna win this game! Shh, don't jinx it! Or by two people saying the same thing at the same time and calling it a jinx. Similarly, we knock on wood to avoid tempting fate. The notion that by saying something will or won't happen, we're inviting it to actually occur. And we've all seen comedic examples in film and on television of what happens when a magician gets the accent wrong. All these customs are rooted in ancient practices of magic. And we must not forget that in addition to the cunning folk and practitioners of magic of ages past, bards and storytellers transmitted information and stories orally. In fact, in the ancient Celtic world, bards were revered. Poets were among the few citizens able to move freely throughout the countryside without needing to ask permission to enter a new territory. Reputation was essential. People in positions of power would commission a poet to sing of their great deeds. On the other hand, a poet could also be hired to perform a satire to smear someone's name. The bard had a significant amount of power, an influence beyond the creation of songs and stories. Their actual words were even thought to physically affect their listeners. And of course, the realm of spoken word magic is also the domain of the shaman. Words and sounds work together to create altered states of consciousness. The shamanic figure in certain cultures acts as an intermediary between the mundane world and the spirit realm. The shaman often employs the use of chant to enter trances and commune with other realms, a practice that is still very much alive today in many forms. Chapter 2. Written Magic. A Brief History. The written word was a thing of awe in the days when most people couldn't write, especially if it included holy words. Susanna Marriott, Witches, Sirens, and Soothsayers. Ever since the first human marked on a cave wall, we've desired to leave our mark on the world, often just to say, I was here. We still can't resist. Just consider all the places where you've seen graffiti, or someone's message of, wash me, written in the dust on a car. There is something mysterious and exciting about reading the words of ancient spells found on papyri or pottery, or engraved on curse tablets and amulets. While we rarely have complete context for these artifacts, scholars have published a great deal of information about these items, and many of the pieces are on display in museums. Much of our modern magical tradition comes from these ancient artifacts. It's important to keep in mind that all the evidence we have, even to discuss the magic of the spoken word, comes from written texts and engraved or inscribed objects. So now, let's explore some of those. There are many theories about how the practice of writing emerged. Many believe it began with pictograms, symbols, like little pictures that represented objects. Some scholars say it was a discovery made intentionally through practice. Others believe it was an accident. Another popular theory is that it evolved over time in each culture, because people simply needed to keep records, and counting became insufficient to organize everything. According to Mark Zender, it's most likely that writing developed independently in ancient cultures, mainly at first to denote ownership of things and express titles and names. It proved to be such a useful tool that it was expanded for other uses. The earliest form of writing is the cuneiform script of ancient Mesopotamia. Cuneiform means wedge-shaped and refers to the shape of the wooden stylus used to make marks on clay tablets. The oldest Egyptian writing dates soon after, followed by writing from the Indus Valley, Crete, China, and Central America. Even though there is no solid evidence to definitively prove if individual civilizations each came up with their own systems independently, or if the idea spread from one source to others, most likely a combination of both, there's no doubt that borrowing occurred, and it continues today. Living languages change and grow along with civilizations that use them. One thing we do know is that, for magical use, whether words were spoken or written made a difference. One reason spoken magic was so powerful is that there would have been a psychological effect created by the combination of words, gestures, and objects used to perform a spell. However, written words could still be effective, and there was a belief that something inscribed may last longer, that the power could endure. To the ancient Norse, the written word was believed to have even more power than spoken words. While most runic inscriptions were mundane, the runes could be used to make an incantation permanent on something like bone, wood, stone, or metal. However, ultimately it was the content, not the actual shape of the word, that was important. Much of our evidence about magical practice comes from the Greek magical papyri. These are sheets of papyrus that contain magical writing, including magical spells, hymns, and rituals, in Greek or in the Demotic language of Egypt. Most of these artifacts date from the 2nd century BCE to the 5th century CE. These documents only represent a small portion of what once existed, but we also have artifacts to help with interpretation. The myths and sacred teachings of many cultures profess the belief that words and writing are divine, and many have specific directions and guidelines for their use. Again, we turn to the ancient Egyptians, who may be the most famous for this. They believed writing was a gift from the god Thoth, a gift they were responsible for using with great care, because words were powerful and had the potential to both help and harm. Many phonetic characters also have significant meaning beyond their literal interpretation, either magical or symbolic. According to Egyptologist Rosalie David, the main purpose of writing was not decorative, and it was not originally intended for literary or commercial use. Its most important function was to provide a means by which certain concepts or events could be brought into existence. The Egyptians believed that if something were committed to writing, it could be repeatedly made to happen by means of magic. Hieroglyph is a Greek word that means sacred carving, and the evidence from those sacred carvings is extensive. Amulets, stone monuments, and inscriptions on metal and clay tablets and bowls. While some of the hieroglyphic scripts that accompany the reliefs on temple walls are descriptions of activities, it is believed that their original purpose was magical, and that inscribing the text on the wall of a temple increased the power of the ritual. In fact, hieroglyphic writing conveyed so much magical force that pouring water over the characters inscribed on steel or other religious documents would effectively transfer this power to the liquid, allowing magical language to be ingested or otherwise employed by suppliants. And as we know from collections such as the Coffin Texts and the Book of the Dead, the power of words was so significant that knowing certain spells, prayers, and rituals could assure one's safe passage into the afterlife. The Sumerians believed writing was invented by the god Enlil. The Assyrians and Babylonians borrowed the writing style but believed instead that it was invented by their god Nabu. But unlike the Egyptians, the ancient Mesopotamians didn't believe it was possible to command or coerce their gods. Rather, they were more focused on the influence of celestial bodies, and this is one of the sources for our Western astrological tradition and magic. They also had a strong fear of malevolent spirits that could cause harm. In fact, Sumerians, Assyrians and Babylonians all sought help from exorcists and
sample complete. Ready to continue?